My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. With your permission, Sovereign Lord, in the Blessed Sacrament, we are preparing ourselves to offer the Mass. This is going to be the most important thing we are going to do today, every day. And now we prepare ourselves. We are always in preparation to receive the Lord throughout the day. And we are always in thanksgiving, thanking Him for visiting us, for allowing us to join Him in what He is doing. We were reminding ourselves in the past days about the reality of our life. We are involved in a race. We need to accomplish ourselves. And the direction of that accomplishment is Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of everything because He is God. And whoever sees Him, sees the Father. Each one of us. So God saves us in Jesus Christ. He is the one, not us. And He saves us in His own terms. And these terms are, He saves us as a people. Yes, individually, but also as a people. Probably because He is all wise and He knows that we have this two dimension, that individual, we are individual, we are like glorified animals, but also we are social, that is, we establish amazing relationship with the others like no one else in nature. So God probably attends, takes care of the two dimensions of man, and He saves us individually, our own responsibility, collectively, in His family. In His family. Why? I don't know. Ask Him. He is the one who made it. Okay? So from the very beginning, He starts preparing a people to Himself. By Abraham. And He consolidates this by means of a contract, which is called a covenant. In Hebrew, berit. A berit, an alliance, a covenant, is a contract. But instead of buying or selling or offering services, a berit is always an alliance between peoples. They establish the conditions, they agree to this condition, and to make it formal, a sacrifice must be offered by the two parties. The victim, par excellence, is a lamb. Both parties both go offer a sacrifice to God, and then the covenant is valid. Now, God, we were seeing how He prepared a people. Why? Because we are human and we have to go one by one. That's why when we study, our studies take several years. When you read a book, the old style, you have to go page after page. You don't swallow the whole book as if it were, I don't know. No, You go page after page. Well, God goes page after page in history. He is the Lord of history, directing it towards its completion, bringing everything to himself softly, but in a determined manner, without pause. He is the Lord of history. And then if we go to the time of Moses, probably year 1200 before Christ, more or less, things were ready. The Israelites were in Egypt, working for the Egyptian, and God liberates them, as you know. They went to the Sinai, led by Moses. And very much in the first part of this pilgrimage, the people of Israel are gathered, encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses goes to the mountain to talk to God. Imagine, a personal God we were seeing yesterday, not a force, but a personal God, like a man talks to his friend. That's the way Moses talked to God. And he comes back. You remember how he found the golden calf, goes back, and things are ready to offer a covenant, the real covenant with God. He tells the young man to offer victims, bullocks and lambs and everything. And when everything was prepared, he built an altar with 12 stones, meaning universality of that covenant, 12 tribes of Israel. And then he separates the blood from the flesh. In the mentality of the Semitic people, when you offer a sacrifice, necessarily the blood has to be shed, has to be separated. It has to be sometimes symbolically thrown on the ground. Otherwise, it's illegal. So he poured part of the blood on that altar, indicating this is for God. And the other half, he took a hyssop, a branch, and started sprinkling the encamped people who were watching all the proceedings and reminding them, remember Israel, this is the covenant of God. The terms, I will be your God, you will be my people. You will not have any other God beside me, and I will protect you. They accepted. But through the prophet, God reminded them that this covenant is actually the first phase of the covenant that had to be completed. When a mysterious character, in Hebrew called Messiah, may come, they didn't know who this Messiah or Messiah was. Anointed one means in Hebrew, anointed with oil, is going to come, or they didn't know who he's going to be. Now, Jesus Christ comes. But before that, let us remind ourselves that every year, the Jews, and even now, they continue celebrating a memorial of that birth of the desert with Moses. They call it Pesach. It's a ceremonial meal. I have attended one of them when I was very young. And there is a rite for it. They are reminded why we are celebrating. They are renewing symbolically that covenant with God. And they are waiting for the fullness of that covenant still. Jesus comes. And when he is introduced to the people, St. John tells us that John the Baptist announced, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. So he did not introduce him as, hey, here you have the great prophet of Israel. No. Or here you have the wise man or the great rabbi. No, he is the lamb. What is a lamb? For the Hebrews was the victim of the sacrifice. So he comes to be the victim of the sacrifice. St. Paul also, in his writing, he presents, he is the lamb of our sacrifice very clearly. So Jesus, who is God, comes to us, amazingly, to die as a victim. He did so on the cross. He went up to Mount Calvary, carrying the wood of the cross. It was announced in the Old Testament. You remember Abraham, when he was told by God to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac, after so much waiting, finally his wife gave birth. He took his son, he took the donkeys and the slaves, and brought all the necessary things to the mountain that the Lord has pointed out to him. It was all the Lord's operation, we might say. Does it remind you of Mount Calvary? God bringing his son, that's why he was born for us. A child is born unto us, to die for us. At the foot of the mountain, we are told that Abraham left behind the servants and the mules. Means the senses cannot accompany us to the sacrifice because we do not see that sacrifice ourselves, but we believe in it. Only Abraham and his son went up. Only Jesus died on the cross for us. Isaac was carrying the wood for the sacrifice. Jesus was carrying on his shoulder the wood of the cross. They arrived there. There was an altar. Abraham was about to slay his son. His hand was stopped by an angel. And they look around and they saw a lamb trapped by the horns in the bushes. And Abraham sacrificed the lamb. In the last moment, there was a swap. But in Calvary, there was not a swap. The son died. The lamb died. It was God, but trapped by the horns, means in his humanity. His humanity is, taking a human nature, is what made possible for God, for the second person of the Blessed Trinity, to die. In a manner of speaking, he was trapped by his human nature, which made him possible to die. Jesus died on the cross for us, for our sins. He is the priest because he offered himself. So he impersonates Abraham, or Abraham impersonates him, but at the same time he is the victim, the lamb. Today, the first reading, the book of Revelation, Apocalypse, St. John again reminds us or tells us a vision of a ram on top of the altar, opening the scroll. The scroll is history of the world. And only he could open, because he is God. Everything that happens, happens because God was aware of it, prepare it for some reason or another that transcend our understanding sometimes. Jesus is the Lamb. And we are saved by the cross of Jesus. Exactly. And nothing else can save us. Only he is our Redeemer. Just a minute. But we are here in the Philippines, and we are here in the year 2020. Don't you think that the cross is far away from us in time and in space? Well, no problem. That's why Jesus, the day before, Holy Thursday, he celebrated the last official legal Pesach, or Pascua, Pasco, Passover, same thing. In the Last Supper, what we call the Last Supper, it was the ritual thing. But then, at a certain moment, he separated himself from the ritual of the Jews, or if you want, he gave a new meaning, an exact meaning, a full meaning to the ritual of the Pesach, took bread, broke it. We people in the Mediterranean do not cut the bread with a knife, but break it, a sign of reverence, and said, "This is my body. This, my body." He didn't say, "This signifies my body," or "is equivalent to my body," or "is the force of my body." "This, my body. Your body, Lord?" "Yes." But he added, "which would be given up for you, which will be traded in for you. I die, you live." So it's his life present, but with a purpose, to save us. Okay? "This is my body." So the Lord becomes present there. Then at the end of the ritual supper, he took the chalice, which is a luxurious kind of cup, usually metallic or stone, but the best each household can have. They have usually one chalice for this celebration, which is filled with wine and water, but the water and passed around, all drunk from the same sense of unity. We belong to the same people. He took the chalice and said, "This is the chalice of my blood," always obviously was referring to the wine inside. "This is my blood, which will be poured out." You pour when you voluntarily pour water or wine into a glass, right? Remember, the old translation was defective. It said, "was shed." You shed blood also when you have an accident, even if you don't want. No, the Lord poured out voluntarily because he wanted would be poured out for you and for all, for the sins. And then he reminded them, "This is the chalice of the new and eternal covenant." New. Abraham said, Moses said, "Remember Israel, this is the blood of the covenant." And Jesus says, "Remember, this is the blood of the new covenant." But he added eternal. Eternal, with this word, the Lord prevented any possible renewal. So this is it. This is the ultimate covenant. There won't be any other new covenant. Okay? But how is this presence of God there? Well, you see, here, this lamp we have here is here really. But something can be here in a metaphorical manner. Okay? So when I say, I don't know, this is like I may have a mention of something which is not here but reminds us of it. Now, when I say lamp is here, is real. So you see, real, metaphorical, different. Now, what is real can be here in two manners. Real, physical, like this lamp, you can touch it, okay? It's real here, physically here. Or real, sacramentally. The Lord, in the Blessed Sacrament, is now here, really, not metaphorically, really, But sacramentally, what does it mean? That you cannot touch him, you cannot smell him, you cannot sense him with your senses. The senses have been left at the foot of the mountain, like in the case of Abraham. The mules were down, the slaves were left down. The Lord became present in the Last Supper in a sacramental manner. His body here, his blood there. This stresses the fact that this sacrament, that is symbolic, and that is a sacrifice. Sacrifice has to be the flesh here, the blood poured out. Jesus makes himself present in a sacramental manner in the Last Supper, his body here, his blood there. Then he added, "Do this in memory of me." It's an order, it's a command. Do this, not remember it, do this. What, Lord, do you want us to do? And he could respond, what I did. That is, make the cross present there. The disciples understood this way, and since then, after the resurrection, they gathered together to celebrate what was called first the breaking of the bread, the synaxis, the Mass is the same thing. The Mass we are going to attend now will make present here, really, in a sacramental manner, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, of Calvary, of the cross. Somehow, this will be Calvary in a sacramental manner, not physical. So the cross will not be far away, but the sacrifice will, the same sacrifice, not a repetition of it. The Lord doesn't die every day, morning, afternoon, and evening. No, it's the same sacrifice. It's rather we go to it. A bad simile would be like a ceremony that is celebrated and you watch it there physically present, or you watch it through, through a corner or this or that. Present at the foot of the cross. This is the Mass, which is sacrifice of the cross, I insist, which is not repeated. We go back in time through the sort of time tunnel, spiritually speaking. How is my Mass? You are a member of the body of Christ. You are right now transforming yourself into another Christ day by day with your response to the grace of God, with your obedience to the Holy Spirit who is in you. So therefore, you are part of the body of Christ. When Christ dies on the cross, he dies with his body. And you and I are his mystical body, the church. So the Mass is also the sacrifice of the church, our sacrifice. That's why the priest says, "Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice is Christ," represented there through the ministry of the priest. But also he says, our sacrifice as people of God, baptized, priest with baptismal priesthood. The other day I was reminding people, from now on, never attend the Mass again. Don't attend the Mass. Offer the Mass. What is the difference? Attend, well, you attend like the pews are there, like the chairs are there, like the kneelers are there. They always attend the Mass, pero they don't transform themselves. They are not aware of it. They are physically there, but that's all. Now, offer the Mass is to participate in the same sacrifice of Jesus. So it's no longer he who is alone. We, the totus Christus, the total Christ, offer the sacrifice with him. And how can I participate? The Church guides us, telling us, everyone doing what he or she had to do. The priest as minister, the lay people as baptismal priesthood. Sitting down to listen to the Word of God, standing to give affirmation of your faith, kneeling, adoring your God, reading the reader, helping the priest, the acolyte, singing. Well, it's better if all of us sing. We don't leave it just to the choir, because we are all the people of God. So each one its office. So therefore, I advise you, you see, at the end of the Mass, the priest says, go forth, the Mass is ended. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. From now on, internally, you have to say, yes, I know what you mean, but now I begin my Mass. I continue the Mass, and I am the priest of my own existence. Why? Because from then on, after the Mass, you continue your Mass, your offering. You continue accompanying Jesus Christ on the cross. Offering what? Yourself, your whole existence, together with Jesus and never separated from him. Is this what happened in your day? Is your day a continuation of your Mass? You take control of your decision, directing them towards the same direction, Jesus Christ. Everything you do, you work, you rest, you eat, you sleep, all these things can be directed and should be directed. It's a continuation of your Mass. You see, at home, in your clinic, in your studio, in your place of work, there you are, in a manner of speaking, celebrating your Mass, offering your Mass, because you are doing this, sanctifying yourself, united to Jesus. Let's do it. Let's not stop the Mass in the church. And of course, you have to prepare the Mass, mentalizing yourself, where am I going? I'm going to the altar of God. I'm going to the foot of the cross. I'm going to go with Jesus. The Mass, the sacrifice of the cross. Who was at the foot of the cross? Our Mother Mary, offering herself, totally united to the suffering of Jesus. So we can consider that in this Mass we are going to attend, somehow, in a mystical manner, we can imagine that our Mother the Virgin is also there, because it's the same sacrifice, not repeated, but sacramentally really present.